For this morning's public reading of God's Word, I invite our attention to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 25 to 37 this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he, the lawyer, answering said, quote, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Unquote. And he said unto him, this is Jesus speaking to the lawyer, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jericho, down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he, the lawyer, said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Please be seated. May God choose to bless his word. Beloved, there are a lot of people today who don't like to be told, and this is amongst Christians now, professing Christians, there are those who don't like to be reminded that the transforming grace of God actually transforms a sinner into a saint. And in time, that saint will demonstrate that transformation by his good deeds. You hear a lot of negativity towards the word performance gospel. Beloved, if you do not believe in a gospel that truly transforms a rebel into a subject of the King of Glory, then what do you believe? You don't believe that the grace of God can change a man or change a woman's life, whereby the acts of darkness that they once lived in are now being replaced with deeds of righteousness and kindness and compassion and love? Good illustration. Notice, this is a lawyer, and Jesus didn't have too many kind words for those in the legal profession of his day. Now, hopefully you saw two things. Look at verses 25, and then look at verse, 29. Underline the word tempted, and underline the word justify himself. Right off the bat, this lawyer comes to Jesus with this question, what a wrong, perverted, and misguided motive. He really didn't want an answer. He didn't want an answer at all. He didn't want to hear a right answer from the lips of one who is righteousness himself. This lawyer came, verse 25, not to learn, but to tempt. May I ask you a question? When you come to church, do you come to learn, or do you come to tempt the one giving you the lesson by a nasty, carnal, sensual attitude that reads across your face, "You can't teach me nothing, preacher. I'm here against my will, or I'm here because I have to be here." If that's your attitude, you're going to leave just as empty as the way you came in. And then notice in verses 26, when Jesus tells them in verse 28, when he did answer correctly, so it's possible to be evil and give a right answer. How's that grab you? It's possible to be nasty and yet know enough Bible for you to even quote the Bible. Even the devil can quote the Bible. Read Matthew chapter 4 for crying out loud. Evil people can quote the Bible. Politicians who lie on both ends of their mouth can quote the Bible. And then at the end of the speech, "May God bless America," and then walk away. All right? So this man came with an off-the-wall motive. And therefore, guess what? He's going to be given an answer, and it ain't going to settle too well. And Jesus knew that before him. So Jesus, well, in verse 27, the man quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, what is known as the Shema, one of the most precious verses for any Jewish person in the ancient days, and hopefully maybe amongst some professing Jews today. Something very precious. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, strength, etc., and to love thy neighbor as thyself." And then he justifies himself. Well, then who is my neighbor? Just like a good old nasty lawyer. He comes up with a question, or he comes up with a hypothetical. Well, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus goes into this beautiful parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now notice, the poor soul in verse 30 falls upon thieves and robbers. They beat him, they strip him, they basically roll him, maybe on the side of the street or on the side of the road, maybe in a ditch, and they left him half dead, and off they go. Crime done, crime committed, off they go. Now they're going to enjoy the spoils of their thievery. Notice in the story, the first two characters who come waltzing down the street, a Levite and a priest. These were the religious leaders of Jesus' day. These were the individuals who had a responsibility of reading the Torah and giving an exposition of what God expected of God's ancient covenant people. These were the pastors. These were the deacons. These were the Sunday school teachers, if you will, using a modern application. These are the ones who ought to have known better. These are the ones that should have been motivated with love and compassion. But when they saw that he was a half-breed, half-Jew, half-Samaritan, that goes all the way back to the exile of the 10 northern tribes, that far back in their history, they didn't want to be ceremoniously defiled. So what did they do? They crossed over on the other side of the road and kept on going. And then finally, here comes in verse 33, this Samaritan. Apparently, he didn't have the scruples as the priest and the Levite. And he went ahead and he ministered to this man, notice, in a personal way. Bound up his wounds, poured in whatever ointment, whatever, put him on his beast, took him, as we continue the story, took him to the nearest inn, brought him in, got him a room, told the innkeeper, "Whatever he needs, put it on my tab. And when I come by, I'll pay off the man's tab." So notice, the Levite and the scribe demonstrated, listen to this, they demonstrated they had no faith. Why? They produced no works. They did not perform the Shema. Apparently, they had no concern for God Almighty, the first part of the Shema. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, body, and strength," right? They simply negated that. How do I say that? "And love thy neighbor as thyself," which is the second part of the Shema. And Jesus said that upon these two commandments, the whole law hinges like a door on its hinges. Did he not? Well, beloved, because they disregarded the first part of the Shema, what do you think they did with the latter half? love thy neighbor as thyself. They threw that with the baby and the bathwater both out of the window. Notice, one is dependent upon the other. If I do not love the Lord my God the way I ought to love him, then I will have no love and compassion for those whom I can see. If I have no love and no devotion to the God whom I can't see, what justification do I have that I will minister to my fellow people who are in dire straits, whom I can see? One is based. One flows out of the other. It was a Samaritan who comes alongside and renders the Shema. And then what did Jesus say in verse 37? To the lawyer, when Christ said, which one of these three really hit the mark? And the lawyer says, well, the one that showed him mercy. And notice, Jesus says, go and do thou likewise. See, genuine faith is an act of faith. It's a living faith, right? It's not dormant. It's not dead. It's not something you did when you were a kid, when you walked down an aisle or mumbled a prayer in some Sunday school room when you were a child. Living faith, an act of faith, a faith that is stirred by God the Holy Spirit, will produce good works. So those who don't like the performance gospel, then I advise you to get back into your Bible and begin to look at it more closely. Faith without works, according to Brother James, the half-brother of Jesus, faith without works is dead. May God choose to bless his word.